My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
Friendship ended with you.
I guess friendship ended with Megan.
I will scream.
I'm not going to know if this is fit to stay in the podcast until it comes out of my mouth.
Like a very shiny fish. You're a past modesty mesh.
Press F in the chat. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. Welcome home. How are you doing?
Oh my God, I'm still recovering and I didn't do anything, so I cannot imagine how the athletes feel. This is a very special episode because I am a changed woman. I, of course, was present at the 2020 Toyota U.S. National Championships, which took place last week in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was unbelievable. It was such a cool experience. I don't travel much and I'm exhausted.
Yeah, no, it can be very draining, a very packed weekend. But you live to tell the tale, and this is the tale.
Yeah, this is the tale. This is going to be our very special. This episode is special in so many ways. First of all, it's special because I get to talk about the wonderful experience I had. Thank you, US Figure Skating, for inviting us.
You've done good.
And the other reason it's special is because this is our first full circle episode, because our very first pilot episode of the show was technically, I think, January 31st, but it was a US Nats recap. So this is the first event that we've ever covered twice on the podcast. And it's only going to be that from now on, I guess, until the Olympics.
Wow. That's insane. I'm so proud of us. Just very emotional about this. But yeah, we've come back. It feels like the last US Nats was 20 years ago, but it was just last year. Everyone has grown up so much, including us and the podcast.
Yeah, including the podcast. The podcast went from being this tiny little random idea that I didn't think anyone would listen to being such a big deal that we got invited to go to see this event just 1 year later. So follow your dreams, but and don't think too hard about them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't think this would have been successful if I knew anything about podcasts going
in. Wow. Don't show people everything behind the curtain. We've known everything.
Keep the We've known everything kind of closed
all
a little
the time.
Bit.
We're so prepared for this. But yeah, what an event to celebrate our one full circle. I was not even there, but in a way, I feel like that made my experience even more intense because at least you were amongst other people. I went through all of this just screaming in real life in the privacy of my own house by myself.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have in some ways like an objectively accurate gauge for how this event was compared to other events, because of course I feel like it was like an earth-shatteringly special, one-of-a-kind, best-of-all-time kind of event because I was there. But I do feel like in some ways it kind of was.
It was really, really good. Should we just talk about it? No, wait, let's do breaking news.
Yeah, we should. And also, I want to acknowledge, like, a fair amount of people have sort of jumped onto the Iced Tea train since U.S. Nationals. So welcome. If you're new here, we're so glad that you're joining us for the podcast. And we do, what have we been saying? We do comedic commentary with an emphasis on, like, positivity, but not in that, like, ooh, live with laugh love kind of way. Just, like, being a kind and decent person while we are funny and not punching down at people and skaters who are trying their best, yeah?
I always worry that when we say it's kind humor, people are gonna imagine it's very like soft with like an umlaut on the O, but it's not that. It's still I still got into an argument with my mom the other day because she told me I curse too much on this podcast. So you're not in for a wholesome experience, but you are in for a very good, fun one, I would hope.
We're extremely motherfucking nice.
Yeah, that's basically
what that on a put that on a sticker. We're motherfucking nice.
Yeah, that's basically the thesis statement of what you're getting yourself into is we're fucking nice. We're going to be real fucking kind to everyone and it's going to be real fucking fun. So hi, welcome on board.
Welcome. We're going to be kind as shit.
And if you've been on board, fucking so glad you're still here.
Yeah, we love you. So listen, we usually start the podcast by doing breaking news. We talk about things that have happened in the skating world since last time. So, okay, here's some breaking news. Alena Kanishova. It's Alena and Alyona seem to be the same name in Russia. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, well, in Russia, in Russian, vowels get modified depending on whether the stress is on them or not. And also the very clear e doesn't really exist because Russian is very soft in general. So all of the Elenas that you say Elena, they would not be Elena because that doesn't make sense in Russian. All of them are Alena, just because that's how the language works. But then when you transcribe it into the Latin alphabet, that gets lost and people just read it as Elena. So similarly to every single Slavic person, all of them girls just settle and are like, yeah, that's close enough to say that.
Okay. But you're not secretly Nyota, are you?
No, I'm not, because I'm not Russian.
Because you're not Russian. Okay.
Can you imagine if I were... I'm baby Nyota. That's who I am.
Fucking baby Nyota. You with like a little, like a gigantic teacup.
On all levels except physical, I am baby Nyota at all times. But yeah, it's Alyona Kanishova.
Okay, well, she has retired from skating at the elderly age of 14 because she was injured a couple of years back and has now gotten to a point where she can't jump anymore. Oof.
Yeah, so she's transitioning to ice dance, but that's a larger conversation to have about longevity that we keep coming back to. Again, and we've talked about it, moving from singles to ice dance is not a downgrade or anything like that. Some people like to see it as like, well, you can't be a jumper, so you might as well just fucking do ice dance. And that's not accurate, because ice dance is very hard and has its own challenges. But it is kind of messed up when someone who is 14 now has to step away because of injuries she sustained years ago. She was like 12 when she got hurt, and that's messed up. Like, no quad in the world is worth that.
I think that the only thing I retired from at age 14 was like having braces.
Oh, wow, you did? I was like 16 when I got my braces removed. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I was like a kind of an advanced orthodontic person. I was like a little ahead of the curve, but like not to brag.
I had thick black glasses because I was emo, but I also had braces and like bangs. It was like completely like white, ugly Betty, just bad.
White, ugly Betty. Okay, but joking aside, that's really awful. And like, you know, I'm seeing a lot of arguments on the good old interweb about like, well, she and her parents knew what they were getting into. And I'm like, doesn't that kind of make it worse? Like,
first of all, yeah. And secondly, like 2 years ago, girl quads were not a thing we were seeing in every single comp. Like, it was way more unheard of. And if this very influential coach is telling you like, oh, you have this opportunity to be one of those people and you're 12, of course you're going to say yeah, because you're 12.
I would say yeah, even now, and I'm almost 30. And
oh, yeah,
I,
if like, someone told me that they can teach me how to jump a quad, I would, like, forget the past, 25 episodes of this and just be like, hell yeah, let's go jump a quad, I guess.
But, you know, we're all human. I just think that, look, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know these people personally. I will never know what it's like to be a competitive figure skater firsthand. I am saying I don't think they knew the risks is a good excuse, because if you know the risks of leaving your baby in a hot car and you do it anyway, that makes you a worse parent, not a better parent. So yeah. I'm just saying, I don't think there's any way you could convince me that it's okay that she had to retire at 14 and that it's not something we should be like concerned about. I don't think that there's a way you could convince me that that's just the way it goes, but you know.
I think that's a cruel way to look at the sport, is to be like, well, they knew the risk. That gives me the same vibe as like people who don't want younger people to be happy because they suffered and they turned out fine. It's just like, no, you gotta have more compassion than that, I guess. But yeah, I wish her luck in her future career, and I hope that at least now at 14, she gets to already know how to move on from things that are not good for her. And that could be, I mean, I don't wish any 14-year-old gets to learn that in any fucked up way, but at least now she knows that the end of the world is not coming if you have to leave something behind. So that's something, I guess.
And she has always had really beautiful skating skills, so I feel like she's going to be really successful as like the future of ice dance, you know, fingers crossed. An example of somebody who is not content to just let the next generation suffer the way they did is Ashley Wagner, who continues to be a hero and advocate on behalf of, you know, survivors and preventing sexual assault and abusive power. And so this is just sort of our weekly, you know, we stand with survivors and we support all the wonderful work that Ashley's doing.
Yeah.
Moment.
Yes. Also, just in the car on my way home just now, I saw her tweeting about something else that gave me like a very good vibe from her. Someone was like tweeting kind of bitter about old Olympic stuff and all of that. And she has this very beautiful manner of like shutting stuff down when it comes to like people trying to compliment her through putting other women and other athletes down. She was just like, no, in this house, we support basically everyone. And you don't get to diminish other people's accomplishments to stand. And I really appreciate that from her. I saw someone a couple days ago tweeted her and be like, since you've retired, I think I'm going to stop watching figure skating. And she was like, she basically listed a bunch of skaters she enjoys who are competing right now. And she was like, hey, those people kind of skate with the same vibe as me. Go stand them. And I just really enjoy the way she approaches supporting and uplifting other athletes, whether it comes to direct activism or just like being a good presence in the sport.
I'm really curious to see who she identified as people who skate with the same vibe as her. I'm going to go check that out after we record.
She said two people that she really enjoys and skate that she like kind of relates to are Mariah and Wakaba. And I was like, that's an interesting choice, but I kind of agree.
I agree with that. I think Mariah has that same sort of clean all-American style. And I think that Wakaba has the same edgy girl style.
Well, Mariah's a rap girl and Wakaba's cool. So that's basically it.
Yeah. Remember how we said this podcast was funny? We promise that we'll start getting funny.
Right now.
Unfortunately, a lot of times breaking news in the figure skating world isn't like a real hoot, but.
Oh, also just before we started, Russia announced its teams for Worlds.
Is it bad that I thought they already had?
I mean, it was pretty obvious. I'm, as per usual, heartbroken for my man, Alexander Samarin, who's not going to make it. Everything else was kind of, you could have seen it coming. But yeah, that's also breaking news, and it's not super sad. So there's that.
Here's how we do on this show. We go through the podium one by one, and we talk about the performances of the people who made it on the podium, and then we talk about the people who didn't make it on the podium and who stood out to us. And then we do some fun segments about things that are not related to specific performances. Shall we start with the ladies?
Yes.
All right. So the U.S. has a fourth place, which is cute. And I like that because the more faves we can stuff on a podium, the happier I am.
Correct. Agreed.
All right. Let's talk about Miss Karen Chen, the spiral queen, the layback queen.
Yes.
The queen of resilience.
Ah, I stand so hard. She's so beautiful.
Seeing her in person was even more beautiful.
Yeah.
First of all, she's just beautiful. She looks gorgeous. But also, yeah, her skating is like when I say old school, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. I mean it in like a classic, like she really does pay a lot of attention to the kind of elements that have always been really, really iconic and beautiful in ladies figure skating, like the spirals, like the really classic layback positions. And I don't know, it's just like really magical to see.
Everyone and their mom was commentating, so it's very hard to keep track of who said what. But someone important said that her layback position is worth any quad in the world. And I agree with that. As we've said time and time again, we tend to get so excited about the jumps and the big, very impressive superhuman things that look like flying in the sport. But something that requires this amount of just strength and control and being stretchy and flexible is just as impressive and hard.
Yeah, and like, I mean, obviously her jumps were there because otherwise she wouldn't have won a medal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these are the things that we remember. And as far as her program, so her short program is, gosh, what is that song called? It's like, I Believe. Is it called I Believe?
I think so. It's
a song that could be about a boyfriend or it could be about Christ.
I think it's called You Say.
Yes, by Lauren Daigle. Thank you. Just tickled a little spot in my memory. yes. Now, here's what I will say. I am so, like, sappy and just, like, such a sucker when I'm in the arena, which is something I learned about myself, that, like, something that I maybe would sneer at in real life and be like, that's earnest. She's skating an earnest program about her faith. In person, I was, like, weeping. I was like, this is touching.
Hey, listen, I mean, if it comes from a genuine place, who are we to debate that?
No, I love it because she's just so beautiful. I don't know. It moved me. What can I say? And her long program, she skated a different one than we have seen. She was doing Secret Garden. She brought back a different one.
It is called The Ovation. The Ovation from Slow Dancing in the Big City. It's a 1978 film.
Cool. Deep cut. All right, Karen. We see you in your, like, your cool deep cuts.
Yeah.
I guess that was a program she had skated briefly a couple years back and brought it back, which I think is cool. I don't know. Again, like, sometimes people like to dunk on repeats, and I'm, like, all here for repeats because I just don't think that one season, let alone just part of a season, is enough for us to really, like, get all the flavor out of an awesome program.
Yeah, I think we talked about that at length last time, but I do agree.
We did, yeah.
Also worth noting, she self-choreographs.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. I mean, in her free skate, she did have Ilona Melinchenko supporting that, but she is listed as choreographing both her programs. Her short is completely self-choreographed.
Okay, well, now I have to watch it again. I can't believe I didn't know that.
She's incredible.
The highest compliment I can give is that I didn't clock that, because occasionally, and not always, like, I definitely, a lot of skaters are really, really talented self-choreographers, but sometimes it's a little bit, like, literal mimey, and you can just kind of tell that it wasn't done by, like, you know, a Misha Gay or, like, a Benoit Richaud or a Stefan Lambiel. Fellas is a gay. No, it's not. It's self-choreographed. I had no idea. It never crossed my mind. So Karen has maybe a future in choreography if she ever wants to go there. And may I just say, the dress that she wore for her free was gorgeous, and it was, like, blue, but it had, like, blue sequin designs. And it reminded me of a really expensive color guard moment, like if you were in, like, a really competitive, like, flag tossing team. My sister literally did that, and that's not what it's called. I don't remember what it's called, but it's color guard, right? Where
I don't know what the actual disciplines are called, but yeah, it's color.
I think it's color guard, flag corps, but she, sure. But you know, it's like, it's that, like, flashy marching band vibe. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, such a sucker for it. It's very, like, old school, but not in a bad way. I guess that's sort of how I keep coming back to that with Karen. It's like this classic, fun,
just good entertainment.
It'd be fun to see her do something like 50s or something.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, those, like, old movie musicals?
Mm-hmm. Even just, like, a golden age musical, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. So good for Karen. And also, I would like to say that Karen, in addition to adjusting to going to college in a totally new state, which is literally hard for anyone. I don't care if you're a figure skater or you're just an average 18-year-old kid trying to keep your head above water. That's a hard thing to do. And in addition to doing that while being a competitive skater, which, you know, is something that only a handful of people can do, she also had an ankle injury that she sent on Instagram that she had to have 2 cortisone shots a couple weeks ago for, and was skating with a lot of pain. And so, I don't know, we wish Karen all the best as she goes forward in her season, and hope that the ankle continues to behave. And I literally had no idea. So, I mean, to get fourth place with all of that going on is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, agreed. Very proud of her. Very excited to get to see her on a podium. She did great.
Speaking of unclockable but upsetting injuries, in third place was Miss Brady Tennell.
And winner of the short program.
Yeah, winner of the short program. Let's not forget that. Brady had a little bit of an injury herself. She had an elbow situation. I'm not an elbow doctor, so I'm not totally clear. I know everybody thinks I'm an elbow doctor all the time. It's so, so confusing. But there is another Megan Kelleher who is an elbow doctor. And
that explains a lot.
All the time, like, help, Dr. Kelleher, I played so much tennis, my elbow is like a giant grapefruit. I know. I can't help you, I sympathize, but anyway. So Brady overcame an elbow disaster. I had no idea. Yeah. The short program was exquisite.
I feel like she's really been vibing with this short program. It just, like, clicked for her at some point, and it just started working for her so well. And it's very exciting to observe.
Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but you know that move that she does where it's like at the very beginning and she's kind of like tiptoeing in a little grapevine and it looks like she's holding a little cane. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
She also does that in her gala. And yeah. I'm like, is this the signature Brady move now? It makes me think of like a cartoon mouse tap dancing, but in a good way.
That's such a specific reference to pole.
I don't know how that could ever be a bad way. It's not a reference because I don't think it's ever happened. It's just a stupid image in my brain. It's just a cool program. The dress continues to polarize, and that's, I respect that. I personally really like it. I love, you know, it comes through on TV a little bit, but in person, first of all, can I just say, and you know this because you were at the IDF, everyone's dress is better in person. It's yeah. designed to be seen in person.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady's has a sweetheart, like, sparkly bra, like, flesh tone slash silvery thing in the V-neck part that doesn't always come through on a broadcast, but wow. is so cool.
That's gorgeous.
Have to stan Brady.
Stan fucking Brady.
Her free skate is Cinema Paradiso. First of all, she has another new dress. It's her third new dress this season, and I love it when we keep it fresh and we keep it original.
I love all of her dresses so much.
They're all good. So this one was white, just like the last one. Gosh, I only saw it in person briefly, so I can't remember a lot of details, but I remember the back was really sparkly because I saw it extensively in the award ceremony. And there was some ombre flesh tone moments that were also kind of gold. And I think I would need to see them again to form like a totally
yeah.
cohesive opinion about it because I could see it going either way, but it worked in person. I don't know.
How do we feel out of all of her dresses? Which one is your favorite? I mean, all of her dresses for this particular
program.
She has
I do
so
miss
many
the purple.
Good dresses.
You I know, do miss I do purple? Miss the purple. I liked the purple. It was a cool color.
Yeah.
Did it go with the program the best? I don't know, but I liked it. I don't know. How about you?
I love the purple color-wise, but I think her second dress, the first white, was really, really pretty. And very, I mean, it's such a, I feel like it's almost too obvious because it made her look like Marilyn Monroe in its Cinema Paradiso. So I feel like it might be a bit too obvious of like a leap of like, oh, she's a starlet, it's cinema. But I still liked it a lot. I don't know. She always looks beautiful.
I remember there was somebody who messed up their strongest jump. And I think that it was Brady who said that that her loop was her strongest jump. And that was the one that she had trouble with. So it was just like a fluke thing. I think the elbow threw her off. I remember she said that she was more nervous for this than she was for the Grand Prix final. And that actually makes a lot of sense to me. Because although the Grand Prix final is a bigger global stage, she may have had higher expectations for U.S. nationals. Because in that field, you know, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. So I felt bad that she was nervous and maybe didn't perform as well as she wanted to. I mean, gosh, doesn't it just kind of go to show, like, how strong the ladies' field is if one jump is enough to make the difference?
Yeah, she just got out-skated and on, like, a very, very good skate. So it wasn't like she made some horrible mistake. It was just, like, a lot of good performance. It was such a good event. Across the board, it was such a good event. Like, the ladies just performed so well.
They seriously did, like, very few falls. Very. Oh, my God. I said seriously, not Siri. Come on, girl. No, I don't need you. I'm sorry.
That's so sad.
For the record, let the record show that no one got in anybody's way in any sort of excessive manner in any of the warm-ups that I could see. There are always near collisions with everybody in every discipline. It's, you know, but nothing crazy. Nobody was, like, gunning for anybody. So let's just, like, cool your jets, internet.
I'm getting ahead of myself because this is about men, but I always get stressed out. Speaking of warm-ups, I always get stressed out when I watch Timoki warm up because he warms up against the current of everyone else. And as someone who has to jump singles against the current and it's terrified, I always get so stressed out watching him do like a serious big boy warm up when everyone else is going in the exact opposite big direction. Just stresses me out. Anyway, back to ladies. Yes.
Yeah. I will say I actually also did have my eye out for that. And I thought everybody actually did a good way. Did a good job of like giving him a right of way when it was his turn to practice stuff. So, you know, good boys all around. But anyway, again, you know, Brady did fantastic. She's Sam great Brady. To watch. And this is the second time I've seen her live because I saw her at Stars on Ice. And her ice coverage is like, I mean, it really stands out. Bananas. It's like she does two back crossovers and is all the way across the ice. It's crazy.
God, that's incredible. So proud of her. I do want to say real quick about our listeners. People have made Stan Brady a thing. That's so
I could not be happier. I could not be happier.
If that's my legacy on the internet, I'm happy to retire right now at the age of 26. I'm ready to go. Stan Brady.
I have a video of me. I have a lot of crappy, like, fan cam videos. It's not a fan cam if you're not at a K-pop concert, but whatever. Of me, like, taking videos of Brady and, like, screaming Stan Brady in the background, and they're unwatchable for that reason. It's too loud, but...
Stan Brady. But Stan it's Brady. Valid. It's valid.
You know who else we stan?
My lawfully wedded wife.
Your lawfully wedded wife, the silver medalist, Mariah Bell.
The winner of the popular vote, Mariah Bell.
The winner of the popular vote, Mariah Bell.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Listen, you can't compete with a quad lutz and two triple axels, but you can compete with performance, bitch. And she showed the fuck up. I'm sorry, Mom. I know I'm swearing. I don't give a shit because I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
And of course, like... I'm not here to say she should have gotten more points and a gold medal, but I, because me, you either believe that or you don't believe that. I actually genuinely don't have, I haven't looked at the protocols. I don't actually know. I just know what happened in the arena.
Can you talk to me about this? Okay, first of all, let's just really quickly talk about her short program, which is iconic. I did not watch the short programs live because it was a work night, and it was like, it happened between like 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. And I was like, this is just not going to happen. Not sustainable. I woke up and the first thing I saw was the GIF of Brady and Amber reacting to her falling on the step sequence.
It's an evergreen GIF. Thank you, Brady and Amber, for giving us that reaction.
Just got here. I wasn't even worried because I saw that and I saw the results and I was like, oh, she obviously did fine. She was third in the short. But it's just so funny to me that she got so into it that she fell in like a bracket or like whatever she was doing.
Yeah, you know, I barely even noticed it. But well, first of all, let me say she skates out and like everybody is like... I'm reluctant to say catcalling her because that makes it seem predatory and mean. Everybody just is kind of cheering for her in such a way that is like, we are all here to party with Mariah and she looks stunning. Yeah. And everybody's just sort of awed by how hot she is. And then she starts getting, it's honestly just a huge party. And I'm trying to make as much noise as possible. I think everybody who feels comfortable doing so is trying to make it as much of a party as possible. The place where she fell on her butt in this step sequence was like in my one little blind spot from where I was sitting. And so I just kind of saw that she was on the ground and was like, oh, I did gasp, but I was like, God, it was such a freaking lit performance. It's such a good.
It's a very good program.
From what I heard, and obviously I was watching Mariah and not Raph, and I could barely see into the kiss and cry from where I was sitting anyway, but. From what I heard, Raph wasn't even looking when she fell because he was so mad that people weren't making more noise. And I was like, I was trying. I have thoughts about the whole like noise versus not noise thing at competitions, but I will get into that anon. But yeah, no, it's just a great program. She looks stunning. Lisa McKinnon really did a great job with that costume. Yeah.
It's very beautiful.
It is, and I want to commend Lisa because she has a certain style that she does more frequently that's a lot more, like, bejeweled and ombre and bright colors and lots of dazzling sparkles, and it's cool that she got to show, like, a different range and be more, like, sleek and black and, like, this is, like, a hot outfit that you go out and you spend $50 on at Express before you go out with your friends.
It's genuinely something I would wear in or out of drag. Just the way it is, not like modifying it a little bit. It's just ready to be at the club.
It is, but it also does work as a skating costume because it does have some sparkle to it and it has like a cool skirt shape. So anyway, good job, Lisa. Good job, Mariah, for working it. Hey, get it? Work it. Work, bitch.
Let Britney say it. Free Britney. Let Britney say bitch.
I think somebody on Reddit, and I apologize that I can't recall your Reddit handle off the top of my head, but if you're listening, you're funny. They said that she should get interpretation points for falling on her butt for dancing too hard to Britney, because that's the spirit of the song. And I honestly support that.
Who amongst us hasn't, to be honest?
Has not had an oopsie to Britney Spears at the club? Come on.
I recently did Toxic at a drag show, and I very much high-kicked in a way where the standing leg was going to lose its balance. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. We're just going to make this a move. And just like dropped, basically just like slut dropped in a way which was not planned. But it's drag and it worked and I made cash. So whatever.
And figure skating is a little like drag.
Oh, figure skating is drag. Don't even get me into that. You know I have opinions.
Hell yeah. Speaking of drag, let's talk about the range. Let's talk about the range on Mariah, because we have this. And then we go the next day into the most beautiful, most iconic free skate.
I am going to be honest before we get into this. I adore Mariah. This podcast is a year-long documentation of how much I love and respect her. I did not expect this. I expected her to skate good. I've seen this program in person. I've cried to this program in person. I did not expect how instantly iconic this performance was going to be. Talk to me about being at the arena for that.
Yeah, well, I was in a position where obviously I always frequently all the time find myself very moved by Mariah's performances, and that's why she's one of my favorites. It's like her ability to, I think, you know, it's funny, I think that I've gleaned from the internet that the sort of like skating speak or skating fandom speak for this is like projection. Like projecting emotions to the audience, I think, which is funny because coming from a singing world, that's totally something else. And like an acting world, I'm like, none of them are talking.
None of them are projecting. She was halfway through that performance lip syncing and possibly singing. So maybe she was projecting. Who the fuck knows?
Not enough because I didn't hear it. But anyway, all this to say that the way that she broadcasts her emotions to the back row is what makes her one of my favorites. However, because internationally we don't always see those PCS scores, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, hello, she's like the queen of PCS for me. So I just didn't expect everyone else to be sort of in on my wavelength. But just from the very beginning of this competition, even before that free skate, the reception she got from the audience was so warm. And then I think everybody just found it so moving. And I think like after her last jumping pass, I think everybody, I will be honest, like I don't keep count of the jumping passes in the free skate because I just forget. But I think I'm sure, you know, most people do. And when the last one's over, it's like, oh my God, we're in the clear. She can just like go hard. And I think everybody just kind of left to their feet. And I was like already crying. I joke about crying a lot. There are actually very few programs that will make me shed literal tears. That was one of them. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a moment. Like, we were all just, like, screaming and cheering and,
The energy of that was so electric that, like, I was in my bedroom and I was fully, like, on my feet in the middle of the night, on my feet, crying. Just ugly tears. Because I felt that. It was just beautiful. And I will say it was like after the last jumping pass where you guys were doing this whole thing at the arena, in one of the close-ups you could just see her lip syncing, like I said, which is just like this like moment of completely letting go and just like giving into this performance, and her spirals is just so beautiful. Just instantly iconic.
Instantly iconic. And I'm so, so happy that she gets to be somebody who will now, I think, for sure go down in the history of American skating, if not for everything else, then for this performance. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to go down in history as one of the iconic ones. And yeah, it's really special. I think she deserves that.
Like across the board, the reception from other athletes and people on the internet was really beautiful. I was enjoying watching like Ashley, who we already mentioned, and like Misha Get and like a bunch of other people just tweeting about this, even though they were in like her team who's involved in it. Because of course, like Adam's gonna tweet about it because he made it happen. But like it was like other people whose opinions I respect just being like, yeah, that was incredible. And I'm like, yep, I know. And I agree with you. Thank you.
After the awards ceremony, there was a moment where everyone was like, Adam, Adam. And he was like, I didn't do anything. And it was so funny. Because, I mean, I guess in his mind he didn't. But he's coaching Mariah.
He knows he did.
He knows he did. He literally waved like the queen wave, the pageant girl wave. It was so cute. And he looked fantastic. I don't know why I said it like that. But he did, with his big coat and his shoes.
My dream is to be cool enough to show up in an extremely expensive coat and technically not do anything, but just be very supportive of my talented friends and be there. That's my dream career.
Like, hashtag coach coats.
Hashtag coach coats. Mine is the Olympic glory and everything. I just want to be cool and clad in Balenciaga and beautiful and successful.
I don't know if there's anything else to say. I think, it was just an iconic moment that I feel really fortunate to have been there for.
Yeah, you got lucky. That was like an iconic historical moment. Okay, let's talk about Alyssa Liu,
who did win. The first back-to-back ladies champion since Ashley Wagner and Michelle Kwan.
Yeah, what a legacy.
What is a legacy? Legacy.
It's landing quad lutzes in an arena you never get to see. Oh my gosh, we're doing so good. We're half an hour in and we've already talked about drag and Hamilton, so I feel like we're done here. Thank you for tuning in. This is the show.
Turn in your bingo cards at icetpod@gmail.com. just kidding, we don't have bingo cards. If you want to make them to roast us, feel free.
Alyssa Luke.
Miss Alyssa. Now, honestly, there's a part of me that's really glad, again, that she recycled her short program, because it gives us this opportunity to grow and to reflect about how far she's come since the last U.S. Nationals, which I think was the first time that she came onto a lot of our radar. I mean, unless you're really following, like, the sectional regional pipeline, a lot of people, including me, had not heard of her until Nationals last year. And look how far we have come with this. Look at all the parades that have not been rained on thanks to Alyssa Liu.
I was so impressed by how grown up she seems, and I don't mean that in like any weird way. It's just she's come so far from scream crying her way into the podium.
I know. And like, I don't know, it's I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head, which is like she has grown up a lot, but not in a weird way, because she has matured and she has, you know, she looks older and she skates older and she acts older. But at the same time, she's still not being pushed into a place of premature maturity, as far as I can tell, in terms of like her choreography or her costumes or being expected to act any certain way. And so that's really, really nice to see, I think. She's, like, allowed to be a kid, but an older kid.
Yeah, no one's made her skate to, like, 50 Shades of Grey music. So that's an achievement.
I wasn't gonna say it,
I'm gonna say it. I don't care. But yeah, I do still think you can tell how young she is in her skating, which is technically incredible, but I do still think it has this quality of a show kid. It's like this girl in your, you know, sixth grade musical who's really, really good and knows all the choreo, but you can still tell she's 12. And I mean that, like, obviously, she's a child. She skates like a child because she's a child. It's not surprising. It's not.
You know what it is? It's like, to sort of extend your metaphor, I want to say last year, it was very much that show kid. Like, I'm pretty sure I said toddlers and tiaras, which is a little harsh, but you know what I mean. It's like the Dance Moms, like, show kid kind of vibe, right? This year, with the same program, especially to contrast it with, it's like that's still the vibe of that program, but it's almost like she's pushing at the boundaries of, like, she's a little past it now. And so she, I think, could handle something more mature. And I don't mean in like a weird 50 Shades of Grey way, but I mean in like a grown up big girl, like, you know, a higher skill, right? Of choreography.
Yeah. And it doesn't, there is a style between Toddlers and Tiaras and Elisabetta Tukhtomishova taking her top off. Like, there's something in the middle where teenagers can exist. Cause it's, you don't want to push it into like, oh, I'm 15 and I'm doing 50 Shades. But you also don't want to do, like, the weird infantilizing thing where someone is, you know, 15, 16, 17 and still doing, like, Tomorrow from Annie.
Yes, Yes. I think, I mean, obviously the choreography is amazing. Lori Nichol is a star. I think she's still doing a little bit of the Lisa Tuktomisheva, like, more posing than dancing, right? There's a lot of, I do, she so has
she
a lot of...
So she is channeling some Lisa Tuktomisheva, just, like, not the striptease.
Yeah. But I think I guess because we sort of both come from the musical theater world, I think that's sort of a natural place for us to go, where I think that she's perhaps transitioning from the place of, you know, being the star of the Broadway junior version of everything into a more high school-y, teenager-y age where you start giving everybody the classic roles to play around with that can help yeah. them grow. And I guess I see her free skate that's new this year as a little more of that. It's like the New World Symphony. It's mm-hmm. really pretty. She looks like a beautiful jellyfish.
she does look like... I'm obsessed. I know I've said this before, but I'm obsessed with everyone getting oddly placed pieces of tulle in their costumes this year. It's like my favorite trend.
No, and it's like that kind of tulle that comes off of the costume in such a way that it looks like you are made of like fire or smoke when mm-hmm. you're skating. And like yeah. it's like that same thing that Zhenya has on her Muse mm-hmm. costume. It's so cool. It's just the coolest effect. I'm such a sucker for it. Like, I know it's just fabric, but it's so cool. I'm like, oh, it's magical.
I think because we come from theater and stuff, this is when things are most effective, is when you know how it's done and it still can be magical for you. I think that's very exciting, and it shows that it's very effective when you can forget like the cynical, like, oh, whatever, it's just fabric, and still enjoy the way it works.
Yeah, I agree. I was just thinking about, too, how I think that on the spectrum of projection, like this idea that we talk about of emotional expression coming from inside and going outwards toward the audience in such a way that we feel it. If we take somebody who's bringing like no emotion to the table and put them like on one end, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, like, you guys have your own opinions. We have our own opinions about who doesn't make us feel things, right?
Hit us up on Twitter right now.
And then in the middle would be like Alyssa, who is emoting and it's fun and it does bring a certain something to the audience. And then maybe on the very far other end is somebody like Mariah, who you can tell is really like plumbing the depths and really bringing something very genuine out. And I think that truthfully, Alyssa is just too young to be able to do that Mariah thing. Mariah's like 23 years old, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like, I just think that if we give it time, she will get there. And what she has now is a lot of charisma and a really, really cute personality, a lot of presence, and some awesome jumps. I think her quad lutz was not fully rotated.
It was not.
I could tell it was a cheeky lando because it was right in front of me, but I didn't quite... I'm not good at spotting under rotations in real time when I'm there. Oh,
yeah, it happens very quickly. It's kind of hard to really clock it.
The triple axels were good, though, and the technique there is, like, really shaping up. Here's what I will say. I think people are rightly, in my opinion, people are totally right to feel like if we go by our hearts and who we felt like stole our hearts the most, then yes, Mariah could be the winner of the popular vote. However, I do think it's unfair to Alyssa to say that, you know, Mariah was robbed or Mariah...
Oh, Mariah was robbed.
You think so?
I have, yeah.
Wait, I want to hear about this. Can you tell me?
Yeah, it's just that I think it's hypocritical of us to, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying like the general us, to be so very critical of the Russians when they do what Alyssa did and then excuse it when Alyssa does it because she's charming. I think when you're 14 and skating a kind of, you know, juvenile style, but throwing in a bunch of tech elements, but not delivering on the PCS end of things as much, it's kind of hypocritical of me to be like, oh yeah, like I don't enjoy it when the triple A's do it and I wish World's theme was Zhenya and Lisa, and then go ahead and be like, oh yeah, but it's good when Alyssa does it because she's charming, realistically. But that's just where I'm at.
No, that's a good point. That's a really valid point. And I feel like I am kind of prey to that bias because I feel like I just sort of assume that Alyssa has a happier training environment, but I guess I don't really have any idea. I mean, I have...
Yeah, but it's not even just about, like, how it's trained. It's just, for me personally, it's about the fact that we're falling for the same tricks, but in a different wrapper. It's, like, the same thing of a very questionable quad and some triple axels, and then the rest of it is fine. It's not like the most exciting, but it's fine. And also, she's so young, and that makes it incredible. And I don't know, I feel like I would much rather be excited by her in 2 or 3 years when she still has those tech elements, hopefully, if she's fine, and also has grown enough that everything that surrounds them is as exciting to me.
I certainly agree with that. I think it's funny because I feel like I feel the same way, but almost like from the other side, which is that in a world where I designed the scoring system, Mariah would have won for sure. And also probably Brady would have placed ahead of Alyssa just because of what I value and what I want to see. But I just have so little faith in the scoring system's ability to represent that experience that I just am not surprised, so I don't expect it. So when I say I don't think Mariah was robbed, I just mean I think she was scored the way I expected her to be scored, and I'm not like shook or surprised by it. And my lack of surprise or indignation is purely from a place of I just don't have any faith in the current IJS or ISU scoring system at all to represent what I think is good skating. And I'm not saying I don't think Alyssa is good skating, I'm just saying like the things that the IJS currently values are not what I currently value. And so I don't have expectations that the skaters, at least in ladies skating, will rank out the way I would rank them out.
I agree with that. But yeah, Alyssa is going to Junior Worlds. So we have that to look forward to. I'm very excited about the Junior Worlds assignments from Team USA. I think it's going to be very, very cool and very exciting. Yeah.
It's Alyssa Starr, who was beautiful, and who's the third?
Lindsay Thorngren, who did win Junior Nats. And she's very, very good as well. So it's a very cute team.
It is. And I think that that's why it's also, I think I would commend USFS in this respect for continuing to send Alyssa to juniors. And I know that I think age-wise it's not an option to send her to seniors, or maybe it is. I can't keep track. But the fact that she's so still resolutely in juniors is also sort of like, okay, so at the end of the day, yes, she won. But also, like, if you want to see Brady and Mariah win, you know, you can be like, okay, well, they're going to Worlds and Alyssa's going to Junior Worlds and all's right with the Worlds, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
We're saying this as if we're not expecting a AAA podium at Worlds. Anyway, swiftly moving on.
Honorable mentions, Amber Glenn, queen of my heart.
Podcast favorite, Amber Glenn. Just beautiful skating. Just emotional. I continue to be so mad at her for making me cry to Sarah Bareilles. It's not fair. I'm not that girl, but it happens.
Yeah. I don't know how many more times I can say it, but I will continue to, is that she brings a lot of emotion to the ice in a way that is very, very pleasing. She gets musicality.
It feels like she's just out there to skate as Amber, and we're just watching her do it. I don't feel like she's performative in a way that's not honest. Of course, she's a performer, but it feels like Amber, who's like, guys, I have some feelings. Let me just show you a thing. And I really respect that in a performer. It feels like the skating equivalent of being a singer-songwriter versus being a pop star.
Thank you. Yes, that's such a good way of putting it. It's like raw.
Yeah, it's just like, if she could have a guitar with her, she would. That's kind of how I feel about it. It's very genuine. All right,
well, she's not Lisa Took to Me, Shiva, but...
Yeah, she has not brought a prop. I respect her so much. Yes, we already mentioned Stars, beautiful. We she's did. Going to Junior World. I'm so excited for her.
We love that. We do have to talk... I don't know why I said it that way. We do have to talk about the Gracie Gold comeback.
Yes! Made me cry. Again, I cried to so much Sarah Bareilles in one fucking night.
Gracie, it was a lot.
Is a legend of our time. She has already put her name in the history of figure skating so many times, but I feel like this was such an important event for her.
Yeah, I think, well, because I was thinking recently about how Amber's legacy is now so much more than skating, because she was so brave enough to come out in a field where, in a sport where people aren't really out. And So now her legacy is like so much more important than just her skating. And I think Gracie, by being so open with her mental health struggles and her physical health struggles and everything, has also done the same. Mm-hmm. And the reception for her was also just like so warm, and everybody was on her side and everyone loved her so much, which was so emotional. And it was, I could see that it was frustrating for her to not perform as well as she wanted to in the actual programs, because her warm-ups were so on, and even like literally just before the skating, like in the 6-minute warm-up, was like the triple triples were there. And she's a skater who, because she has that experience and that maturity and that really, really, really rock solid foundation of years and years of excellent practice, that her triples, her triple triples are not the little baby ones. They're not the little, like, you know, I have to spin as fast as I can. Like, she can take her time. She gets the air. She gets the distance. It's, you look at it and you're like, is that a triple triple or is that a double? Because it looked so easy, but it is. Yeah. You know, it's those kind that you just love to see.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it wasn't her strongest skating technicality wise, but I feel like, especially by the end of her free skate, I don't think anyone cared. Hopefully herself included, because the moment was way bigger than that. And I'm sure she would have liked like the podium or a top six finish or whatever. But either way, this is a great step for her. And she has said in interviews after that she has worked hard enough that she has earned herself at least one more season. So I feel like now that the emotional comeback is out of the way, she can just focus on being Gracie and skating, and that's very exciting.
And that's the thing that I want to emphasize too, because I think that for all that it's a feel-good story and it means so much to so many people, like myself included, everyone who's suffered with depression or any sort of mental illness can relate to that and feel personally represented and have a stake in Gracie's journey. But I also get the feeling that Gracie, as much as she is an advocate, also wants to be seen for her skating and wants it to be taken seriously and doesn't ever want to feel like she's being given anything for the story or like she wants, when she's out there skating, she wants her skating to be what's the focus. And in the spirit of that, I want to say that her skating skills are undeniable. It's that same thing I was saying. Course. It's like you can't take away, you know, X amount of years of a foundation that the younger skaters just don't have. Like whatever is the opposite of skating with a junior quality, that's what Gracie has. And to see that on the ice in a sport where people are unfortunately having to retire at 14, it's rare and it's so unbelievably nice. It's like when you see, you know, 30-year-old skaters in a show and they just have these amazing skills and you would watch them forward stroke all day. Getting to see that in a competition, it's like that's another thing we can thank Gracie for.
Yeah, I am excited for her to just get to focus on that, because I can understand how, because she's done so much speaking and being raw and honest and out there in the past, like, what, 6 months, a year, that I can see how she could want to be done with that, and that would be valid, and it would not be a disservice to anyone or to her own story to be like, all of this is true, and now let's move on and just do some skating, which is why I'm very excited for her next season.
Yeah, I began weeping the moment the first note of that Waitress song began.
Oh, same.
And I was cheering and weeping at the same time. So I was fully scream crying, like kind of Alyssa Liu last year style, just open mouth. Like, I think I sounded like a wounded animal just cheering, like, it was a whole thing. That's, I'm not proud, so valid. Of it, but least, I wasn't alone.
Again, yeah, at least you weren't alone. I was doing all of that in the privacy of my bedroom into like a cocktail, and by cocktail I mean just like some vodka in my iced tea.
That's like so on brand, I can't even talk about it. Some vodka in your iced tea?
Yeah, just like in a bottle of iced tea, you know, you know the way you take a couple sips out of a bottle so it's not completely full and then just fill it up with whatever liquor is nearby?
I thought I invented that, but go on.
Yeah, that's what I had been doing for most of US Nats. It's just iced tea vodka, which is my side podcast now, I guess.
Iced tea vodka. That's like the after hours Patreon.
Speaking of Patreon, I don't have any more. That would have been a good transition.
Oh my God, transition if I didn't stick my foot in it. So we are in the throes of a torrid, steamy giveaway.
Ooh, sexy. Tell me more. Tell me more about that.
Here's the thing with the giveaway. You could win a sticker. Now, I'm not telling you how you should live your life, but if you don't want to have the same things in life that Alex Krasnajan has, I don't know how to help you. You may never have the opportunity to perform as a vampire in front of the entire world. You can have a sticker. And I Correct. Know that Alex Krasnajan has this sticker because I put it into his hands myself and I helped him put it on his suitcase. So if you don't want that, I don't know, you might want to just look in the mirror and think about your priorities. Here's how you can win a sticker. You can either be Alex Krasnajan, in which case I will just come up to you and hand you one. We've already been through that. That's one way. A second way, and maybe a way that you might be more interested in, would be to enter our birthday giveaway. How do you enter this birthday giveaway? Here's what you do. You send us a screenshot of something that you did that is good for us. Some of these things could be rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcast, leaving us a nice comment on Apple Podcast, endorsing us on a social media network, and or like tagging your friends. We can't enter you just from you liking or retweeting our post about the giveaway, because that would be kind of like us taking you and entering you into a contest without your consent, which is like not super moral of us. So we need you to send us your proof that you did these things in order for us to enter you into the contest.
Yeah, so just let us know. Let us know that you're into our shit and send us a screen cap, and we are going to get you one step closer to literally physically becoming Alex Krasnajan. Isn't that exciting?
It's the closest thing that we can do to help you with that, short of a vampire actually biting you and turning you. I can't help you with that personally. You could maybe call Elena Kosternaya or Alexei Bachenko.
You know what, Megan? If people want to hear a list of figure skating vampires, they can also get on Patreon and go back and listen to our Halloween episode from months and months ago, in which we did very much talk about ooky spooky vampire programs. In order to do that and also get access to a whole bunch of other cool shit, go on Patreon. Get on our Patreon. Support us in our plushie buying habits. How do they do that?
They go on www.patreon.com/icetpod. We are icetpod everywhere. We're icetpod on Twitter. We're icetpod on Instagram. We are icetpod@gmail.com. Those are all places you can send your receipts of your do-gooding to for the contest, by the way. But also, we are patreon.com/icetpod. If you would like to give us a small donation every month in return for goodies, this month our bonus episode is going to be more tales from nationals that I couldn't fit into this episode and are kind of a little more wacky and random and off topic, but still fun.
Yeah, so get on Patreon. You guys literally make this possible. Yeah, boy. Enter the giveaway, be nice.
Be fucking nice.
Be fucking nice.
Knock, knock. Who's there at the door? It's men. They're here. We're going to talk about it. Maybe lock your door. If men can come in your house, that's not a safe way to live.
That, no.
Absolutely not. Okay. In fourth place, winning the pewter medal, is one Vincent Joe, who we haven't talked about in so long because he's been, like, doing the school thing.
Hallelujah, baby. He's back.
He's been in my neck of the woods. I did not see him one time. How garbage is that? We lived in the same tiny city in the same tiny state for a whole semester, never saw him once, and then now he's gone again.
Allegedly, he had trouble getting ice time at your alma mater. Apparently, the ice was preoccupied hosting hockey players a lot of the time, and he had to, like, drive to Boston all the time to actually train, which sucks.
That does suck.
I guess it's harder to split your time if it's not like, oh, he's just gonna go skate at his rink that's on campus. If that was not an option, I guess that made things harder. But he is back.
Yeah, and you know what? We were all like, oh, Vincent, he's the dark horse. We have no idea what he's going to do. He's the big question mark. He shows up, bam, in excellent form. Like, that's going to feel so good.
I'm honestly kind of proud of him. He posted on Instagram saying that a couple weeks ago, even his triple axels were kind of questionable. And then he skated fine. Like, if I wasn't aware, if I wasn't someone who keeps track of what people are up to, I wouldn't have known that he's kind of been off ice and not competing for a while.
It's true. And if we're giving, you know, Karen all this credit, like, it would be hypocritical of us not to also give Vincent the same credit, because he did basically the same thing. And, you know, just because I personally find Karen's skating more aesthetically pleasing than Vincent, and that's just my opinion, it doesn't mean that it's not incredibly impressive. Again, just to start a new school at all and thrive, because for a lot of us, that was a fucking terrifying experience, even though we weren't like Olympians. And I don't know, I think it was one of those things where it's like Vincent's baseline tech value is so high, like historically, that of course for what we're used to seeing from him, it was a lower tech content, but because he skated cleanly, more or less, I don't have the protocols in front of me, but you know, there weren't any major big f-ups. And ooh, look at me self-censoring now. Wow. Getting a little self-conscious with the curse words, with the naughty words. Yeah, I mean, I just think that that's gotta feel so good to just feel like everybody was expecting you to fail and then you came out and didn't.
Yeah, it's always respectable. I'm trying to think of what else I want to say about him. This is so much more shallow than the rest of this commentary, but I'm obsessed with this top he wears in the free skate. It kind of reminds me of Evan Bates' costume for the snake dance, iconic, beautiful snake dance. This, like, using 3D texture on the thing. And, like, with Evan, it's, like, the weird slits and stuff. And in Vincent's case, it's, like, braided. Like, the fabric itself just looks like it's braided, like a beautiful elven braid. I'm obsessed with it.
I really appreciate texture on a costume. Mm-hmm, I think that same. It's very obvious to go for a sequin or a jewel. To use the fabric itself to create a pattern is really nice to see, and it looks cool.
I think a lot of costume makers forget that you can just make fabric do things, and you don't need like the additional sparkle or dye or anything. It's just like the 3D aspect of fabric is so exciting to me. I was like, I saw it in his warm-up and I was like, oh, this is fascinating. I'm very, very into it.
I gotta dig out this photo of me from my very first dance in sixth grade wearing this exact shirt. It's uncanny. It's the same shirt.
What, with the braids and everything?
Yes, like it has texture, it has the same colors, it has the tie-dye, it has the slight jewels. It's unbelievable. I cannot believe that 11-year-old me and current Vincent Joe feel fabulous in the same shirt.
Like, are you sure you and Vincent aren't like the same person time traveling in a weird way? You keep running into each other.
We did go to the same college, and we did at 20 years apart wear the same shirt, and I think that that's the key. That's the key to being the same person as someone.
Yeah, that's all you need.
You know, okay, look, I do not feel like emotions coming off of Vincent that go into my heart when I see him skate. So for me, that aspect is still a little bit missing. I can see that he's still working on it. And I think that, you know, when he has a more consistent training environment, he's like working with Lee Barkel, like maybe that'll come. You know, he's still really young. That's sort of the bit of constructive criticism I would give him. Like, congratulations on maintaining your tech content. That's a huge feat. I would love to see more emotions.
Fucking throw up. No, I joke, of course. But yeah, I agree with your criticism.
So he skated right after Sean Rabbit, who of course we will talk about, who's an absolute darling. And Sean, I guess because his style is so over the top, wonderful, like warm, inviting in the audience, everybody, of course, wanted to see a very big score from him, and his tech content wasn't even there, really, and you forget about that because he's so magnetic. And so his score was not, I think, where a lot of people would have wanted it to be based on the emotions they felt. And so Vincent takes the ice, he's warming up, Sean's score is announced, and then everyone starts booing. And I didn't realize they were booing the score. I thought they were booing Vincent, because there's, I mean, look, Vincent's been a controversial figure on the internet, and we don't know him personally and haven't talked to him personally, but, you know, so who's to say what is real and what is not real? But I was, like, really kind of appalled that anybody, that the whole arena would be booing him. That I found out from the internet later that they were booing Sean Rabbit's score, and I was like, well, thank God, because can you imagine?
Yeah, I still think it's, I don't know how I feel about that, because obviously experiencing strong emotions is very valid, but I don't know if I were the skater in question and people are booing, like, in my honor, I don't know how I would react to that. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like,
well, and Sean himself was like, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Like, I wouldn't want that. But yeah, I would also be freaked out if I was Vincent, because I would absolutely assume it was for me. Like, if I'm driving on the highway and someone honks, I assume it's at me. Yeah. So, but no, the crowd was very warmly in support of Vincent. Like, they really, really loved him. And so Vincent is going to Worlds. We'll talk about World Team selections in a minute, because I have opinions. In third place, a prince, Tomoki Iwatashi.
Oh my God. How freaking blessed.
I was going, like, buck wild apeshit for Tomoki the whole weekend. And I, for whatever reason, I feel like people are sleeping on my boy Tomoki. Like, he's the junior world champion. People, wake up to the excellence.
I feel like people who don't keep up with juniors as much, and granted, we don't either generally, but we did keep up with junior worlds last year. I feel like people don't know. And that's so exciting to me. Because he gets to be this dark horse who just shows up and is very good and comes out of nowhere for most people. I adore him. His short program feels like drugs.
It does. It's so lit. Like, it's so hype. I, like, get so excited every time. It's such a good... Yep. And I never would have thought that... Like, okay, yeah, that song slaps, but I never would hear that song and be like, yes, let's make this a super, super hype men's figure skating short program. It's gonna be lit the whole time. Like, yeah. Never would have thought that, but it is.
It's incredible. His energy into it is so good. He just skated very, very good.
He did a great job, and he's got so many, like, tricks in his bag of tricks. Like, he's got the Russian splits, and he's got the Bielman, and he's got the cantilever and the spiral. Like, he's very flexible. He's a great showman. I think, I'm not going to say the greatest showman, I can't do it, but he, like I said, I think that he's a little more reserved off the ice, and so you, like you said, rather, that you don't always expect it, and then he comes on and really knocks the socks off everybody. It's like, start to finish, fire. Love it. He also had a beautiful free skate. It was, like, the first time we really saw both programs click and go pretty clean, and... You know, you love to see it.
You simply love to see it.
You simply love to see it. I remember last year at Nationals being like, come on, Tomoki, like, you have the tech content. Let's bring the fire. Let's bring the energy. Let's bring the, you know, the sass and the passion. And I don't think he heard me, but I do think I spoke it into existence. And ever since then, it's been like night and day from that Nationals. He's been somebody that always brings it for me. So I could not have been happier for him. I was so excited. And what a good kid. Like, first of all, you probably know this if you've ever, like, mentioned him in your Instagram story or on Twitter or anything, but he's really gracious. He always, like, says thank you and, you know, slides into your DMs and says, like, thank you so much. And also in warm-ups, like, every time anyone landed a jump, he was clapping for them. And I was like, that's what a nice kid.
Also, he worked so hard for that podium because he was fifth in the short. And then he showed up with his... hunted doe realness, and he was like, we're not haunted letting that watch. Happen. Yeah, that's the haunted doe watch of our podcast, is just Tomoki and what he's up to. He brought it so hard. He was undeniable in the free. He's spooky as hell in that program. I really enjoy it.
Does it not fit very well with his natural, I'm gonna crack my whole head off of my torso before every skate vibe? I think it fits very well.
Terrifies me when he does
terrifies that. Me. He's gonna pull his whole head off one day. It's fine. First of all, that costume is freaking gorgeous in real life. And on film, but I've always liked it, and I thought, oh my God, this costume is so pretty in real life. It's so detailed, the colors and sparkles, everything is great. And I think that because it's such a high concept program and perhaps like kind of highbrow, because it's like, oh, you know, whatever, we've all heard One Republic on the radio, but maybe not everybody knows Petrushka. It's, you know, it's not like on the same top 40 of the moment. I do think it's like a little bit of a harder sell. And I think it's really cool that he's able to like bring it in such a way that everybody's on board. Everyone gets it. It's a haunted doll. It's creepy. It's classical. It's wonderful.
I think a lot of people would say the opposite, actually, because for many people, it's way more acceptable to think Stravinsky when you think figure skating and not Ryan Tedder. But I guess people come from genders. Different places. The two genders are Igor Stravinsky and Ryan Tedder. There is no other options. But yeah, I'm very proud of him and deeply excited. I have gone on record, and I will go on record again and say that not the next Olympics, but the Olympics after that, 2026, is all his. And I will die on this hill.
I might be on that hill with you. It was a wonderful thing to see. In second place,
Silver is just occupied by all of my husbands and wives.
Your spouses are getting Silver, baby. It's your lawfully wedded husband, a Jason Brown. It was so interesting, the parallel. I don't necessarily draw parallels between Nathan and Alyssa, but I think the parallels between Jason and Mariah are very clear, which is like the crowd response was similar in terms of like, you know, the popular vote, the absolutely buck wild, warm, loving reception. And even more than Mariah, Jason, more than any single skater I saw at all in any discipline that weekend, was the celebrity of the event. He was the one people were talking about being the most excited to see. He was the one people brought the banners for. He was the one that people were screaming for, like he was Beyonce or BTS or whoever.
I love that for him so much.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was, he couldn't get off the ice after the ceremony because everybody was screaming for a picture with him or to touch his hand or to get his attention.
Listen, first of all, his short program is one of the sexiest programs on ice this year. He's keeping it going from last year with just like sensual windy. I was a bad person today and I skated with my headphones on, which I know you're not supposed to do, but I was careful and smart about it. And that song came on my shuffle and I was just like feeling my fantasy. It's such a great song. He just makes it work. And we got to acknowledge that.
People talk a lot about how nationals are overscored. And not just us, but every individual national competition is overscored. Okay, yes, that's like, you know, in an ideal world, maybe wouldn't happen. I get why they do it, because it's, in a way, it's a way of supporting your own skaters on a national.
Of course, you're hyped to see your people.
And if everybody else is doing it, then you got to do it for your own people. Whatever, I get it. Politics. That being said, like, I actually think that the way that PCS was scored at this U.S. Nationals was the first time that I've ever seen U.S. skaters get the PCS that I actually think they deserve.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know Jackie Wong was saying this a lot, too, so you know it's true because he's a brilliant man. He kept repeatedly being like, finally, judges, you did it. Of, like, Mariah getting the PCS she deserves and Jason getting the PCS. And I just felt like across the board, the PCS was there in a way that a lot of times in international competition, it just isn't because of ? We don't know. Mystery reasons.
Yeah, not gonna say shit, but yeah.
Not gonna say shit, but it's like, yes, okay, the scores were huger, but actually, if anything, I felt like maybe this time on this particular day, not just for Jason, but for many skaters, it wasn't so much overscoring as other competitions are underscoring.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I want to talk about his free skate, which breaks me every time. I was already crying when it happened because, I don't know, something about Nathan's just everything moves me. So I was like hype crying just because it had happened. I was just kind of like excited and crying. I was going through some things. And then This program, it just, I mean, we've talked about it before. The choreography is just so smart and it's so beautiful and it's start to finish incredible. And also this fucking man, listen, it wasn't perfect, but he stayed up on that quad toe. And I'm here for that. And we all saw it in practice. We all saw it in practice. It exists.
Ironically enough, and this is actually one of my few like major regrets I have about this whole experience, is that I have a little bit of debt ADHD, and sometimes I my brain goes on vacation while people are skating for a microsecond, and it's always the worst microsecond. So I was physically there for the men's free skate practice when he landed the quad toe, did not see it, was looking away, heard a huge scream, knew exactly what would have prompted that huge scream, and was like, no! But I saw the gif of it, and then when he did it in the competition, I saw it, and you know what's wild about it? It's this crazy experience where, you know when you see a two-footed jump, like you're like, oh, that was a mistake. Like anyone can spot that that's a mistake, even if you don't know anything about skating. Like my mom doesn't have as much experience watching skating as me, but she can clock if somebody's two-footed a jump, right? Mm-hmm. When Jason did it, I felt like I was having this like surreal experience of like part of my brain, like half of my brain knew that it was a two-footer. Half of my brain was like, that's impossible because he made it look so beautiful that how could it have been a mistake? Like he made a two-footed under-rotated jump look deliberate and beautiful. And so I was like, that couldn't have been a mistake because it looked nice.
Yeah, he's just, his skating skills are on such a level that it's very hard for him to look awkward even when something is not perfectly going his way. About that quad toe, which did work in practice, I will say I was watching the practice cam, the NBC Gold practice cam, which first of all was super fun because I got to watch you actively ignore my texts for a little bit. But secondly, I was watching and I saw that, and my brain also weird in different ways, but I always count out jumps when they happen, just like without thinking. My brain would, seeing a jump, I go 1, 2, 3, 4, or like 1, 2, 3, like whatever it is. I was watching him because he was like dead center, like whoever was operating the cam, just like perfectly centered on that. I watched him, I was like 1, 2, 3, 4, and just like moved on. And then I was like, wait a second, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then had to go back and watch it a couple of times because my brain was just like, that was a quad. Okay, we're moving on. And then I was like, wait a second, that's Jason. That was a quad.
Full cartoon double take.
Yeah, full like white man blinking. Just went back, watched it a couple times, gifted, thought about it, tweeted about it. I was not sure. I saw it and I wasn't sure until someone else on Twitter was like, yeah, this just happened. And I was like, oh, thank God, I'm not losing my mind. Also on Twitter, I don't remember who, and I'm sorry, someone on Twitter made the bold but beautiful prediction that he's going to land it clean at Worlds, and we're all going to collectively lose our minds.
And I can't wait. Would love to see it. Also, I like to think that this silver medal is another feather in his cap where it can be like, okay, like what you're doing is enough. Just keep doing it. It means so much to so many people. And I think that the audience was really, and the crowd was really happy to see that. And it was like the cheering felt like a means of expressing like, this is right and you deserve this.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm gonna cry again. This is messy.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I just love him so much. And he cried. He cried in the kiss and cry. And I was so moved because I didn't expect that. I watched the free skates with my mom because they were at like a normal human time for once. She has a video of me watching him stay on his feet on that quad, and I go through like the full range of human emotion in literally 10 seconds. I would have put it on Twitter, but I just look embarrassing to an extent that I don't think anyone deserves to really see. I am thrilled for him. And then he was crying and my mom was like, he's crying. And I was like, I know. And also may or may not have been crying. It was just messy.
And Tracy was there and I saw her with my own eyes and she's beautiful.
I really appreciated the way the cricket club team divided and conquered that weekend because it was a big weekend. We haven't even acknowledged that this was happening at the same time as Euros, like literally at the very same time. So that's where Brian was, but I was entertained by how they managed to have people everywhere in the world.
And it seems like Tracy has bonded the most with Jason, and they seem to have a similar vibe. So I was appreciative of that. So anyway,
thrilled.
So Nathan won the gold medal, of course, in the first four-peat since Brian Boitano. I hate the word four-peat so it's much I can't even talk about it. Here's why I hate it, okay? Here's why I hate the word four-peat. Because it is an extrapolation of the word three-peat, which I fucking hate even more because the word hat trick literally means you won three times. And it's from a fucking adjacent ice sport. It's from hockey. It's right there, people. It's right there. We did not need to invent the word three-peat. It is not a word that needs to exist. And thus, four-peat is its disgusting, like, eldritch horror clone of a child that needs to be put out of its mercy. Thank you.
Okay, so all of that aside, Nathan has done it.
Nathan has
done
it.
Very thrilled.
It was incredible.
Yeah, he skated so beautifully. I mean, he's always... Listen, I'm not going to talk about scoring because, like, it's nationals and he's a hero, so whatever. The 330, is it realistic in a worldwide perspective? Probably not. Then again, he did score like in that ballpark at Worlds last year, so who the fuck knows?
The thing is, he knows. He sees the scores and he's like, oh wow. Like, he knows. We all know. Yeah,
like,
get it.
He saw the 330 and he was like, okay. Because he knows it's not a real number.
It's literally fake numbers. It's fake math. And here's the thing. I feel like we all need to just take a chill pill and realize, like, we all know it's fake math. Like, I see some people sometimes get mad on the internet about the scores that people get at nationals, like, compared to people from other countries. And you simply cannot do that. It is not done.
Yeah, just, like, for your own sake. But having said that, good God, he skated good. He skated so good.
It's ridiculous. And, like, I've seen him before. I saw him at... I mean, you've seen him live. Yeah. I saw him
God,
at...
God, we're so lucky.
We've seen him so many times now. It's effortless. It's effortless, and it's, like, it feels like a cop-out to say that because that's sort of the thing that everyone says about him, and I wish I had something original to say, but he makes it look so easy. It's insane. Yeah.
I had this paranoia that something was going to happen. I felt like he hasn't had a bad skate since the short programs at the Olympics. And for a second, going into his free skate, I was just unreasonably paranoid that, like, something was going to go wrong. And then jump after jump after jump, he kept proving me wrong. Which is why, by the time he gets to Benny and the Jets and pops off, I was fully weeping just because I'd proven my own garbage brain wrong.
Oh, I love that. The Benny and the Jets.
Isn't it fucking incredible?
It is, I will say.
In person.
He started it just from where I was sitting at the complete opposite end of the rink and then kind of did it towards me.
Yeah.
So I didn't have... I felt like from that perspective, I couldn't see it as well. So I was a little bummed out. I wish it had started like right in front of me, but I was screaming and I have video of it that I'll send you because I just think it's fun to see from like, even though like these little like fan cam things aren't in good quality and they're so shaky and everything. I just think it's fun to see because it shows that it happens in real life and not just like.
Wait, should we trade? Because I also have video from my perspective from IDF.
Absolutely, we should. His costumes are cool in person, dude. Like, these, the giant, like, highlighter yellow thing on the other yellow. Mm-hmm. Genius. Like, Vera is an artist.
God bless her.
Yeah, so it's really hard to know what to say about Nathan because we've spoken about him so many times. I would like to reiterate that I really do think he is an artist and he has artistry and he is able to convey emotion. And it's okay if you don't like his style. It's totally fine if you don't like his style, but I just still don't think it's fair to say. I mean, okay, I don't think anybody, including Nathan himself, least of all Nathan himself, would say that he's up there with Jason in terms of like fluidity and lyricism or whatever. But to say that he has, you know, no artistry or no emotion or anything, like, that's just wrong. He's just got a very upright carriage. It's very like classic masculine ballet dancer. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe it's not your taste, but it's something. I think it's beautiful. I love it.
I think that carriage that he has is part of why 99.9% of the time I trust him completely is because he holds himself in a way which makes me feel like he knows exactly what he's doing.
I agree with that. And I would also like to add that there's a difference between carriage and stiffness. And I think it's a little bit hard to articulate because I am not a dance scholar. But I know when I see it, stiffness for me is like junior's arms, where things are awkward. Nathan has a grace and a strength to it. Like my physical therapist was saying to me yesterday that a tight muscle is a weak muscle. And so there's like a certain quality of holding of your limbs or your torso where it's like rigidity that belies weakness. And for Nathan, you can tell it's coming from a place of strength and proper alignment, and it's not stiffness because he doesn't know how to move. It's like carriage from form and practice.
Exactly. I don't have anything to add. That's perfect.
Oh my God, I love that. Thank you.
Should we do shout outs?
Yes. Let's do shout outs for the men.
Jesus, where do we start? All of them. First of all, Andrew Torgashev was third in the short program. He skated so good.
It was absolutely mind-blowing. It was so good in the short program. Like, everybody was shooketh.
That's so exciting for him.
I remember seeing this program on the Junior Grand Prix circuit and thinking that it had the potential to slap so hard, but he was just slightly off on a couple of the tech things. Mm-hmm. The timing was like, I could tell what the timing was supposed to be, and I could tell he knew what the timing was supposed to be, and it just didn't quite happen. It fucking happened at this US Nationals, and like, this dude is so cool. He's just got like a cool style. He's got the like... the like see-through mesh back to show off his little bird tattoos. You can tell he's like a really good dancer. I don't know. It just was like
Learned from the best. And by that, I mean myself and Sergei Voronov when it comes to wearing mesh to show off your yank.
I don't know. For all that we all make predictions and everything, I really enjoy seeing somebody who wasn't predicted to be on that short program podium get there. I think that's
always
part
exciting.
Of what makes... Yeah, and it's part of what makes Nat special is that that can happen.
Yeah, agreed. Who else? I feel like we already talked about Alex Krasnichon just because he exists and is a vampire. But if you skip the break for some reason, first of all, don't. But secondly, I love him. I think he's so cool and nice. I feel like he just has a vibe that I vibe with.
He's put so much effort into the performance of it. It's like high drama. Can I just say, like, as much as I don't need necessarily more Mozart rock opera, I think he could slay a Mozart rock opera.
Yes.
He's just got that high rock opera drama vibe to him. Wait, I just want to say, Alex Krasnichon, in addition to being a vampire, which of course we love, in addition to being a wonderfully nice human being, because I ran into him in the hall and he was just like the sweetest, he was tenderly petting the head of an infant babe when I met him. That is the truth. I think he knew the parents. Well, he wasn't just like randomly. I don't know. He did a quad loop.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, a seamless, like perfect textbook quad loop, but like how many people in the effing world can do a quad loop? You know what I mean? And like, I think it's kind of interesting when someone's like, let me try out all the quads and the one that works for me is like one of the hardest ones that like two people can do. Like, what an interesting person.
Bodies are weird, man. Also, I think it was Charlie White who said it came up that Alex's understanding of drama is basically untoppable in that field. He's just like the most theatrical, like high drama out of all of them.
I believe that.
I believe it.
I completely believe that.
It's just like a different brand of drama that's like so standout. And it is why it feels like he would lean himself to like weird European musicals. I appreciate it so much.
I hope that he has a long career in show skating and or like maybe the theater. Who's to say?
Yeah.
Anyway, we simply must talk about Camden's quad toe that happened twice. Friendship ended with you. Camden's quad toe is my new best friend.
You know what? I accept that. It's valid.
It's nothing personal.
No, it's okay. I'll accept it. Because the quad toe deserves it. It deserves friends.
It looks so easy. Like, it looked easy and right both times. It wasn't shaky. It wasn't like, oh, what? It was fire.
He just has it.
He just has it. He just has it.
His free skate blouse with the sleeves is one of my favorite things this season. It's so gorgeous. He looks like a ballet dancer in like a very fancy production of something where he gets to actually be a prince. And I'm obsessed
with it. It's fancy.
It,
that's it the word for it.
Yeah, it's fancy.
It's the whole Camden Pulkinen experience is fancy.
I
love to see
it. Love to see it.
We have to talk about world team selections in a second, but I also just want to say, having seen Sean Rabbit live, I get it. I fully get it. It's almost Jason Brown level of beloved by the audience for the level of emotional generosity he has as a performer. the whole thing from start to finish, there's not a second where it's not polished and it's not connected. And it's like, it doesn't even matter if he doesn't have the tech content.
Agreed.
My mom is obsessed with him. And she was like insistent that I throw him rabbit plushies. And I'm like, I'm sure he has a million rabbit plushies, but I'll do it for you, mama. Mama.
Mama. Oh, you must.
You must, mama. Oh,
mama. His shirt and the free skate. High art.
Unbelievable. High art. The jewels, the mesh, the lace.
The V. There was a moment. It was one of those like audience interaction moments in his free skate where all I could tweet was, oh, this is sultry. Because it
yes,
happened.
Yes, I remember that.
It happened and literally at my dining room table, I went, woo! I don't even remember exactly what he did. I just had to viscerally woo at him.
Mood. Big mood.
We have not shouted out the most important man in the universe, Jimmy Ma.
Listen, I could tell Jimmy Ma was disappointed with the way that his jumps rolled out. I could tell. I mean, yeah. And if you have as much ability as he does, you want to be able to show it. And he has it. I saw it in warm-ups. Like, he's good. That being said, he's iconic. The audience loves him. He takes us to the club every time. And he's such an important force for good in figure skating in the way that he is bringing slappy contemporary tunes to the ice.
Agreed. He's beautiful.
And he makes
he's wearing a hoodie on
yeah,
ice.
Yeah, he makes a Who simple hoodie look ice? So freaking good.
Jimmy Ma wears a hoodie on ice and it's like...
No choice but to stand. We love him. We respect him. Yes.
Also, like, his footwork. I mean, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, he skates to Kanye, blah, blah, blah. His footwork is so effing good.
I know.
Like, I have videos of it and it's like... intricate. It's not just like, oh, it's hip-hop dancing, so it's novel. It's like intricate, and like the skating skills are there. It's so fire.
Incredible. He's great. He is the reason we're out here. All right. Oh my gosh. Is that it?
I think so. Should we talk about the world team selections?
Yeah. Yes, we should. I actually have them pulled up right here. Four continents. We have podcast favorite Camden Polkinen and his boy Timoki and my boy Jason Brown going, which is
what a lineup.
Hype as shit.
Move over, spin doctors. That's three princes right there.
The podcast is over.
That's the one you laughed at.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know why, but it's so funny to me.
All right. Let's go on, Eleni.
All right. Okay, as for ladies, we have the beautiful Miss Brady Tanel and podcast favorite Amber Glenn and Karen Chen going. Beautiful, gorgeous lineup. How exciting.
Not a booger in the bunch.
Oh, never. And then we already talked Junior World.
Wait, you didn't say what boys are going to Junior World?
Oh, yeah. It's Torgashev. Super exciting.
Hell yeah.
And then Maxim Naumov and Ilya Malenin, who we haven't really talked about because they're juniors, but they're great. All right, worlds. We have Brady and Mariah going. Stan Brady, Stan Mariah, obviously. And then we have Nathan, obviously. Jason, obviously. And Vincent, questionably.
This is where I have to put my foot down. Y'all know I'm a Libra moon. I have a hard time really coming down hard on an opinion. I'm an indecisive bitch. I have a hard time. I usually can see both sides of every story. I do not like that Vincent is going to Worlds over Timoki. I don't like it.
Same. I know he's technically, like, he's there because he podiumed last year. And that's fine.
Hey, you know who else podiumed last year at Junior Worlds? Timoki on the top
correct.
Of the podium.
This doesn't feel correct.
I know.
Right.
I'm mad about it. I don't like it. Yeah. I think that... from where I was sitting in the arena, it was very clear based on just the energy in the room and the audience response. It was very clear who gave the superior performances on that day. And it's obviously not about that day. It's obviously about body of work. And so then we think, okay, well, whose body of work is stronger? And I don't know. I think it's a pretty equal thing. And I think it's not my decision to make. I was disappointed.
I agree with you.
We have so much more to say, obviously. We want to talk about ice dance. We want to talk about the gala. We want to talk about all of these random wacky stories and cool people I ran into and got to meet. And we simply do not have the time on this main episode. So if you want to hear the January bonus episode, it's going to be Tales from U.S. Nationals, an extended cut of all the things that didn't make this episode. So patreon.com/icetpod. I think we're going to do this one available to the $5 and the $7 tier. So if you sign up for $5 or $7 tier, you'll get to hear the rest of the experience of me at U.S. Nationals. And we hope you'll join us for that.
Yeah, please do. It's going to be fun. Oh, so you're going to get access to a bunch of other stuff.
What we simply must do on Maine, because it is the hashtag brand, Plushie Corner. Is a plushie
corner. Plushie corner, which you single-handedly made happen.
Listen, I have to say, the plushie game at US Nats was strong.
People
really did bring the A game. So usually I keep a really specific itemized list of everything everybody got. I don't have that. I wasn't able to do that while I was there. I haven't watched back the footage yet. So I can tell you, here's what I can tell you about Plushie Corner. Here's what I have learned. I can tell you my personal experiences. So here's how it goes. You throw the plushies. The sweepers come through. It's a timing thing, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a game. It's like an arcade game. You want to get it in the path of the skater, like, while they're approaching, and so they swoop it up before the little sweeper girl kids. They're not all girls, the sweeper kids. And sometimes they just don't feel like it, and that's valid, you know? And you have to, sometimes you want, I would never do this because I don't feel like it is something I would like to do, but if you feel bold, you can call their name and you can throw it into their hands. Something that people were doing that I was a little appalled at, but I understand, like, game recognized game, like, you have to do this if you want to get a plushie into the Kiss and Cry. You have to wait till the sweepers have already gone around and gotten them all and then throw it so the skater feels like it's their job to get it. But if they don't, then the kids have to come back out, and I felt guilty and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I got one plushie into the Kiss and Cry. I don't know how I did it. I just had, it was fate. I threw a beluga whale into the path of the iconic Amber Glenn, and she swooped it up along with a few other things. And then when she got it, this is after the short program, she got in the Kiss and Cry. It did end up under her butt, a place of honor. So blessed. And after she received her score, Queen Darlene Kane rescued the whale from under Amber Glenn's derriere and handed it to her. Save the Whales 2020.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it was a rescue mission.
It was although, honestly, okay, was it? Is that a terrible place to be? I don't know. I don't think so.
I think it's an honor. Plead the fifth on that one.
Here are the ones that I remember just from, like, they made a big impression on me. Mm-hmm. Oh, first of all, here's what I can tell you. It happened to me. They made me put my backpack under the plane on the way there because it was too chock full of plushies to fit under a seat or in the overhead bin. And I later met someone.
You didn't tell me about that. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah. And I later met somebody who was like, oh, that was you. Oh my god.
This is your real claim to fame. I don't care about this podcast anymore. I just need you to be the person with the carry-on full of plushies.
I'm that bitch. Listen, a carry-on full of plushies is really light, and I highly recommend it, but just make sure you know that it's, like, unwieldy. Anyway, that was my experience. The best critters for my money. It was actually, again, I'm getting into Ice Dance. I will talk about it more on the bonus episode, but my eyes have been opened. Anyway, Maddie Chalk got a snake, and it was like full Britney Spears at the MTV Awards incredibleness. There were also for sale in the rink mermaids for some reason, and something that Jackie Wong has termed armless critters, which were like these little beanbag dudes who didn't have arms, and they were real cute. Aww. They were also really expensive. They were like $15. That for me is a lot for a plushie because I got all mine at Dollar General. Yeah, the armless critters were cute. And what else? Oh, Din Tran got a Curious George. Hashtag US Chimps 20.
Wait, was it? I want to say it was Camden who got a teddy bear with a matching costume.
Yeah, it was.
It was Camden with the blue costume. He got like a matching bear. And he had already put his zipper up on his jacket in the Kiss and Cry, and he like unzipped it and kind of opened it up to compare.
Aww,
I just remember.
Bear can have little a slappy blouse as a treat.
Aww, a little bear with little a slappy blouse. It's so cute.
I threw as many plushies as I could, especially to Jason Brown because he brings them to the Ronald McDonald House. And yeah, I think overall, here's what I would say. Advice for you if you want to bring plushies. Think about whether your suitcase can fit in a part of the plane.
Think about if you want to be known as a person whose suitcase couldn't.
So here's something that I learned is that Dollar General is a great place to get dollar plushies, especially because it's around Valentine's Day. So there were a lot of little like gifty type things. One thing is that some of them weighed not a lot and didn't fly super well. So you want to think about weight. Anything that has like a beanbag quality to it is going to fly better.
You just want to pelt people with them.
You do. You just want to really... Poor... I think it was Brady who almost got like just completely beaned in the face with some plushies. But I also was tying cards to a lot of them. And there's a specific way that I figured out that you have to do it where the cards don't fall off. DM me if you want to know my tricks. I won't bore you with the details on the podcast, but you have to get real technical about it. You have to be like a MacGyver. Plushie corner ain't no joke, y'all. If you want to DM me for my plushie card affixing, crafting, MacGyvering tricks.
Where can they do that?
They can do that on my Twitter is MeganKelleher3 at Twitter.com. That's not how Twitter handles work. It's just MeganKelleher3. MeganKelleher3. That's also the same on Instagram. I got to do a lot of cool stuff in Greensboro while I was there, including going to a cat cafe. So you can check those pictures out on my Instagram. Where can they check you out?
I'm at Neda Marie. That's N-E-D-A and then Marie. You know how to spell Marie on Twitter and Instagram. I have not been to a cat cafe, even though there's two in Sofia, and I should probably just go and make up for that. Also, you can follow both of us at IcedyPod on anywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Patreon. What else do we have? Gmail. You can just find us anywhere. It's at IcedyPod, patreon.com/IcedyPod. You know the deal. Enter the giveaway. Just tell us nice things. Give us 5 stars. It makes our day, and it could make your day as well with cool, shiny, sticky stuff.
The chillest of the ice cubes who are already donating on Patreon are Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, Caitlin, Susan, Phoebe. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Daniil Gleichengaus choreography number one stan, Joe, KM, and Samira.
Thank you guys so much. Your names bring me immense joy. Catch up with us next week when we shall be talking about Euros. And also catch us on Patreon if you want to hear more about this. Everything's happening so much.
Everything is happening so much, so stick with us. We can't wait to chat about it with you guys. That was a weird way of saying guys. I'm quitting while I'm ahead. Bye-bye.
Bye.